Herb Adderley joins us on Sports Byline USA, Hall of Fame defensive back, 12 years in the National Football League after coming out of Michigan State. And he has a wonderful book out that I hope everybody will check out. It's called Lombardi's Left Side. And he, along with his former teammate, left linebacker David Robinson, they share what it was like to be in professional football while playing for head coach Vince Lombardi with the Packers. And, of course, in the case of Herb Adderley, he went on to play for the Dallas Cowboys. And he is one of only three players in the history of professional football to have played on six world championship teams, including Super Bowls I and II with the Packers and Super Bowl VI with the Cowboys. Herb, this is a very interesting book, and I'm sure you did some soul-searching before you decided to write it. Tell me a little bit about the motivation for writing it.
Oh, yeah, well, it's been a while, you know, since all the things that happened in Dallas. And I had saved in my brain memories of my entire life, starting from elementary school all the way up. And I had ambitions of doing a book someday. And after my Packer career and then going to the Cowboys for 3 years, playing in two Super Bowls with them and two with the Packers, I decided, well, the time is right to do the book. But each time that I approached someone to do the book over the years, it was always some conflict about how much money the author is going to get that's going to help me, the contents of the book. And then a lot of people backed away because they didn't want to get into any type of racial controversy, which I talked about in my Dallas experience. So finally I found the guy, and he was a Packer fan. That's what I was looking for, somebody that knew the history of the Packers. And also he has done two previous books with Dave Robinson, and the guy's name is Royce Boyles, and he helped Dave the two other books, so I figured, well, he had some experience. So I just went along with Dave and talked to Royce, and he decided to do the book with us. Now, this came about, the left side, Lombardi's left side came about because I was going to do the book alone and call it The Left Corner, because that's where I played, The Left Corner. And I started thinking to myself, well, it would be awful selfish of me to do that without going to Dave Robinson and Willie Davis, because without those two guys, I couldn't have had the career that I had. Dave's a linebacker, Willie Davis, defensive end. So they both agreed to do it. And then for some reason, Willie Davis decided not to do it with us, and he did his own book, which is out now too. So Dave and I rolled without him to do the book, and that's why the name came about, Lombardi's Left Side.
Herb, let me take you back to where you grew up, because I think a lot of what somebody becomes is because of how they grew up and what the atmosphere was like. Tell me a little bit about that.
I grew up, I was born and raised in Philadelphia, grew up in Philly, went to all integrated schools, never any segregated schools. Fitler Elementary School was integrated, Roosevelt Junior High School was integrated, and I went to an all-boys high school in Philly, Northeast High School, and that was also integrated. I grew up in a neighborhood, was all black in a certain area in Philly called Pulaski Town, and they had a boys club, Wissahickon Boys Club, is where I learned all my athletic abilities and had them implemented by mostly black people in the neighborhood. But in high school, I had all white coaches, football, basketball, baseball, and track. I was a four-letter man, and there was more white guys on our football team than black, and there was never any racial problems, and it was always integrated. And I never had any racial problems. I guess the first time I noticed it was when I started at Michigan State, East Lansing, Michigan, which is only like 7 or 8 miles from the state capital, Lansing. But in East Lansing, Michigan, back then in 57, when I first went out there, black folks were not allowed to live in East Lansing where the campus was. The Fair Housing Act, Civil Rights Act, had not been passed. So, but by the time I left there, blacks could live anywhere. So that was my first experience. So that was part of me growing up and getting to Michigan State.
Coming out of college at Michigan State, taken in the first round of the draft, and you were a running back, were you not, when you were drafted?
Yeah, I was all Big Ten running back, led the team in passing, pass receiving, and rushing, and I was drafted number one by the Packers as a running back. That is correct.
And the reason why you were moved over to the defensive side, because the Packers had two guys by the name of Paul Hornung and Jim Taylor, right?
Well, that was one of the reasons, both potential Hall of Famers, And I also practiced, you know, at running back and wide receiver my first year. But my job my first year was all special teams. And a trivial question that I ask people, how many times did I carry the ball out of the backfield in the NFL? Well, the answer is zero. I never had one official carry out of the backfield as a running back. And I was on offense my entire first year until Thanksgiving Day in Detroit, 1961, my rookie year. Hank Grimmage at the left corner got hurt. And we went Brick Stadium, Thanksgiving Day, like I said, national TV. I got about 40 tickets from my friends from Michigan State right up the road. Halftime, Lombardi said, well, we have an emergency situation, and we have to put our best athlete at the left corner. And he came over and put his hand on my shoulder and said, Herb, do the best you can. And I looked up at him and said, me? I was shocked, totally shocked. And I had no time to gather myself or anything. We went right back out on the field, and I started playing the second half against the Lions, not knowing what I was doing. I was shaking like a convict on a gurney getting ready to go get injection. I was so nervous. But anyway, it turned out that I intercepted the ball and ran it back in position to set up a touchdown that won the game for us. Paul Hornung ran it in, and that was my first and last time playing as a defensive back. I went right back to offense, and I didn't switch to defense until my second year, 62.
Tell me about the first time you met Vince Lombardi.
Well, the first time I heard from him, I was in San Francisco representing Michigan State playing for the East Squad in the East-West Shrine Game. And we were in Santa Clara, California, staying at St. Mary's College when I got a telegram, and Joe Koharik was coaching us at that time, and he gave me the telegram, and I opened it up. It was from Vince Lombardi. He said, Dear Herb, I want to be the first to congratulate you on being the Packers' number one draft choice, and we look forward to you joining the Green Bay Packers and being a productive member of the team. Sincerely yours, Coach Vincent T. Lombardi. And I almost fainted. I had no idea that I would be drafted, period, you know, let alone number one by the Packers. And I was also drafted by the New York Titans, which was AFL back then, and also the Toronto Argonauts. So all three had officials there at Santa Clara trying to sign me to their teams. And for some reason, I guess I said spiritual intervention, because I was kind of confused because I negotiated my own contract, I decided to sign with the Packers. I signed my first contract on the hood of a 1957 Ford in the parking lot. I didn't meet Vince Lombardi, the Coach Lombardi, until after the Chicago All-Star game that year against the Philadelphia Eagles, who had beaten, Eagles was my team then because I'm from Philly and I was rooting for the Eagles, and they had beaten the Packers in 1960 in the championship. So when I went to Green Bay, I met Lombardi for the first time. Obviously, we after the All-Star game, we sat down, shook hands, and we talked a little bit about my expectations and what he was going to do with me. And he told me that he drafted me on my performance my junior year. It didn't matter what I did my senior year at Michigan State because he knew that I was a good athlete, and that's why he drafted me.
What was it that struck you about him first and foremost?
I guess his demeanor and just the way that the other guys had the respect for him that was there before me, and just a solid person, and the way he talked to me, it was almost like, you know, one of my parents speaking to me, and so sincere as to what his goals were and how I was going to fit in to help the team to win, and that was all about winning. And, you know, that way, you know, I felt as though he was like a not only a coach, but like a fatherly type, an advisor, whatever, you know, one of the players or myself would need.
We only have a minute before we have to break here, but it's safe to say I'm sure that he was colorblind, was he not?
Well, no question about that. Not only that, he had zero tolerance for discrimination and racism because he felt as though being an Italian that he was discriminated against himself. Because at the time, they picked Alex Sherman over him to be the head coach of the New York Giants. And he felt as though that he was passed over because of being Italian. And because most of the owners back then, not most of them, all of them were Jewish, and most of the coaches were Jewish, all of them. And they wanted to keep it within the family, I guess. So they decided to say, okay, we're going to send Lombardi to Siberia. That's what they called Green Bay at the time. And Green Bay had only won one game that the previous year before he went there.
We're talking football with Herb Adderley, and I want you to check out this book. We're going to make it a selection of the month on the Sports Byline USA Book Corner. It's called Lombardi's Left Side. And, of course, he and Dave Robinson on that left side will continue talking about his experiences not only in Green Bay but also later when he went to Dallas to play for the Cowboys. We do that as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's sports talk show, Sports Byline.